speculators, beware. Your days may be numbered negatively.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Take your expensive oil and keep it. That's the message that consumers around the world, and especially here in the U.S., seem to be sending. The International Energy Agency is forecasting that world oil demand will rise less than expected this year, primarily because of higher prices and slower growth here in the U.S. and in other parts of the world. The agency has cut its global consumption estimates in half from what it was figuring less than a year ago, and it says more downward adjustments may be needed. But until fuel prices follow consumption down, it's safe to say summer travel will be more expensive this year. Today, the air travel industry releases its forecast. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has a preview in Washington.
The airlines will pay twice as much for fuel this summer, so expect fewer cheap fares and a variety of new fees for that seat on the aisle, for example, or that extra bag. Roger Dow with the Travel Industry Association says Americans will stick closer to home and scale back.
Maybe there's one less fancy restaurant they go to, and you go to a family restaurant, or you look at the offerings that are close to home, or perhaps you don't bring grandma that beautiful vase that she wanted, but you bring her a magnet for her refrigerator.
Dow says government stimulus checks are arriving just in time for the industry. People are planning their summer getaways now. Another bright spot, the weak dollar, is likely to keep Americans on this side of the ocean and attract more foreign visitors. Airports are planning a few extra amenities to keep harried vacationers happy, pet hotels for four-legged travelers during layovers, and spa services for those with two legs. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
PC giant Hewlett-Packard is making a big leap into the information technology services sector. The company announced this morning it's acquiring Electronic Data Systems Corporation in a deal valued at nearly $14 billion. EDS specializes in technology consulting and data management. If the deal wins regulatory approval, HP becomes the world's second largest provider of technology services after IBM. It's HP's biggest acquisition since it bought Compaq Computer for about $19 billion back in 2002. Picking up EDS could also mean big federal bucks for HP. EDS is one of the top technology contractors for the U.S. government. Wall Street kicks off trading today, having made a good start on the week. The Dow gained 130 points, or 1%. The Nasdaq steamed up 1.75%. The S&P 500 gained 1.1%. Tokyo's Nikkei rose a second straight day. That's thanks in part to the rising dollar, which improves the picture for Japanese exporters. Congress is considering a bill that would pump $1 billion into summer jobs programs for teens. The plan could boost the employment prospects for youths in New York, which has the lowest level of teen employment of any major U.S. city. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
New York City runs a summer youth employment program placing teens at nonprofits and city agencies. But last year, the program had twice as many applicants as jobs. This year, it's facing budget cuts. City Councilman Lou Fidler says such programs don't just help teenagers, but the economy too.
This isn't money that kids are taking and saying, you know what, let me save this for my retirement. It gets spent right away with local merchants for local goods and services.
But why can't New York teens just get a job with those merchants instead? Joe McLaughlin is with Northeastern's Center for Labor Market Studies. He says competition for those jobs is fierce.
Employers are able to fill a large number of their entry-level jobs with immigrant labor. And in a sense, they kind of become like the preferred source of employees because you don't have to worry about just training someone for the summer months.
McLaughlin says youths who do land work as teenagers go on to earn more in their 20s than those who are new to the job market. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's one of the first rules of investing, and it sounds like common sense. Don't buy what you can't understand. Trouble is, Wall Street is engaging in all kinds of confusing financial practices behind the scenes these days, as Bear Stearns investors learned the hard way. Has financial innovation gone too far when even many PhDs can't seem to explain how things work? We've been putting that question to a few experts, Harvard University finance professor Josh Lerner among them. He thinks things crossed the line when Wall Street bankers came up with all but incomprehensible investment offerings.
Extremely complex hybrid securities piled on top of each other, where certainly their risk and return properties weren't well understood, and where it seems that they weren't solving any kind of fundamental economic problem by being set up. It was almost like it was innovation for the sake of innovation itself.
Or, he suggests, simply for the profit of the investment banks promoting those obscure investment offerings. As long as everyone was making money, there were few complaints. Lawmakers and regulators have kept their hands off for decades to encourage financial innovation. But Lerner thinks regulators have to be inventive now, too.
Just as there is a need for innovation in terms of the kinds of financial securities that are being offered, there is a need for innovation in terms of what kind of roles and what kind of information regulators have, greater transparency in the system.
Sounds good, but I think in many ways it's a cop-out. There are certain practices that are just unwise.
That's Michael Lewitt, president of Hegemony Capital Management. He argues transparency is worthless as long as executives are intent on using sleight of hand.
There was a lot of disclosure about what Enron was doing. There was only one problem. It was almost not understandable. Some of these things that they're doing are so complicated that you can be as transparent as you want and disclose it all you want, and most people are not going to understand it.
Lewitt says the only thing Wall Street bankers have made clear lately is that they can't be trusted to make things clear. And that leaves it up to regulators to draw very sharp lines about what's permitted and what's not. Democratic Congressman Barney Frank chairs the House Financial Services Committee. He's convinced new regulation is necessary to bring clarity to the financial markets.
As we talk about these plans, I did have one person say to me, well, you know, Congressman, some smart people don't agree with what you're proposing. My answer is yes. No dumb people caused this problem. You had to be very smart to think up things that were as exotic and as potentially damaging.
And then again, just maybe smart like a fox, as investment whiz Warren Buffett once observed about some confusing annual reports. If I can't understand it, I know they don't want me to understand it. Let us know your thoughts. Just visit marketplace.org and click on the link that says Contact. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.